soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on February 18, 2016. I'm going to share something very intimate and profound. It's a prayer of Jesus to the Father. It's Jesus' prayer for his followers, for those that his own blood would purchase and give them eternal life. Listen to these words, John 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world. I have manifested your name unto the men which you have gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and you gave them me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known all things whatsoever you have given me are of you. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you did send me. And I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to you. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one, as we are. While I was in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Ladies and gentlemen, this is very profound. This is John 17, the very prayer of Jesus. And you should find it odd, as if you are aware of the church world today, the common doctrines that are taught, the manners and ways that are promoted, the fad systems, terminology, how there are churches today that are not churches of the Lord. They are groups of religious people that reject the very words of Jesus and do not walk in the power and life of Jesus Christ, but they are religious and they say they are serving the world. They say they're going to change the world, renew the world. And nothing is in the Word of God to state such a thing. The Lord has us in the Word, but we are to speak the Word of God, which is the truth, which we've received and heard of the Lord. And we are those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ because of the very word of the apostles that were taught by Jesus. We've been prayed for by the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Not only that, but Jesus Christ himself, he ever lives interceding, praying for us. And as he prayed for Peter, that the devil had sought to sift him like wheat, but Jesus said, I prayed for you, Peter. And the same is true. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the victory in Jesus Christ. We've been called out of the world. We've been called out of darkness and been translated into the kingdom of the dear Son of God, Jesus Christ, who's one with the Father, and the Father's one with him. And we are one with Jesus Christ, and he's one with us as we abide in the true vine. Is that good news for you? God's sanctifying us through his truth, and his word is truth. God sets us apart. There's a difference between him that knows God and knows him not. There's a difference between he that's called into the kingdom of God and that he that's in the kingdom of the world. You've got to sanctify the Lord in your heart, purpose in your heart to be pure and holy and in unity with him, that you be not taking up in the snare that's in the world today. I marvel what Jesus is saying. He has given us his word. Just a few days ago as I got up, the very text that the Lord had given me was as it was written for John. Listen to this. John was a very close companion to Jesus. And while Jesus fulfilled many scriptures during the days of his flesh, John the apostle was in the island called Patmos, and he heard the Lord. And the voice was a great voice as a trumpet. The Lord told John to write down the things you see and hear. That's why we have the book of Revelation today. It's the revelation that God the Father gave Jesus, and Jesus sent and signified it by an angel to his servant John. Read it in the first chapter of Revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, God is the same today. Jesus is the same today. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's speaking. He's spoken before, and it is written. It's written. Thus says the Lord. And we are to speak as it is written. We are to speak as he has spoken. And there's to be no chaff with the word of God. It is to be relayed without adding or subtracting. And we love and we fear the Lord. And thus we seek to be absolutely accurate in spirit and in word before the Lord as we serve him. And we pray that we're pleasing in his sight. And that's what a dear child does, is pleasing to his father. Peter said something similar. If anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's our unction from the Lord, from the Holy One. We have an unction from the Holy One. The Lord fills our mouth as we open it in obedience. And he declares, it is the Father Spirit speaking in us and through us as he wills. All we have to do is be willing and obedient. There's not to be any leaven or falsehood in us. We're to be careful of the influences and who we allow to exalt themselves over us. It is only to be Jesus Christ. We test every spirit. We don't believe every spirit. We scrutinize, we're diligent, we're vigilant. God's called us to speak the word of God and not the word of man. They're from different sources. Can you tell? Do you know the very fountain of living waters? Do you hear him that speaks from heaven? Refuse him not, as it is written in Hebrews 12:25. So John heard the Lord. He both saw and heard the word of God and what God was communicating to him. The prophets experienced this too in the Old Testament. And as they heard and as they saw the word of the Lord, sometimes we hear with our spiritual ears, and other times we see and perceive with our spiritual eyes. That's the way of the Lord. John was in the island of Patmos for the word of God. John said he was in the island of Patmos for the word of God. That was his purpose. That's Revelations 1, verse 9. And that was the agenda of God for him at that moment. He also was there for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the very authoritative word or testimony from Jesus. It is what the Master declares, and the disciples of Jesus have the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. They know exactly what the Lord is saying to his disciples. He's the shepherd, and the sheep know the shepherd. They don't follow strangers. They don't follow hirelings. The non-disciples don't have any idea what the Lord is speaking. Read Revelations 12:17 and 19:10. This is the very importance to hear the Lord. We have to hold to what he says, what he has said, and what he will say in the future. And there is no contradiction in the word of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord will not ever contradict the word of God. You can rest assured. And if it's speaking something contrary, reject that voice. Another aspect of what the Lord has been communicating to me is the ancient paradox of religion gone astray, backslidden, apostate. It's off the mark. It's gone astray. It's fallen from its steadfastness. There are many ways the Lord has described when people leave the straight and narrow way that leads to life. There are only few that find it, Jesus said. Few, very few. Contrarily, the broad way and the wide gate, it finds many of the religious people following it. It leads to destruction. And these are those who profess to know the Lord, but he professes to them, he does not know them. Why? He called. They would not answer. He spoke, and they would not listen. Isaiah 65:12 and 66:4. Where is the wide gate and the broad way? It's everywhere that the straight and narrow is not. Nothing is new under the sun. It is written. There's religion, and there's the kingdom of God that submits to God. Which are you in? The volume of the Old Testament is written documenting the pathetic failure of both Israel and Judah in serving the Lord. They worshiped everything other than God. False gods, idols, the works of their own hands. They worshiped the creation, the host of heaven, even the star of their god, Chiun or Remphan, depending on the pronunciation. Where do you think the Jews got the Star of David, also known as the Seal of Solomon? Read it in Amos 5:26 and Acts 7:43. It's a tragic story of the tears of God himself, broken heart because of their whorish heart as Israel departed, worshiping his creation rather than the blessed God Almighty. These things are written so we would learn from their erring way. But has Christianity learned? No. Has the church world learned? No. The same identical failures of Israel and Judah in their idolatrous, unbelieving religious ways is seen in institutional Christianity. The same hierarchy and religious government system of rabbinic Judaism is seen in today's denominational Christianity. The system and the people, for the most part, ignore the commands of Jesus and his reproofs to the Pharisees, the scribes, the elders. Read Matthew 23, for example. The Lord is telling his disciples today to herald and to declare his word. Hold to it. Uphold it in a dark and crooked age. Let no man forbid you. And this is what Paul did. Paul was a trained Pharisee of Pharisees. He abandoned all that teaching and training and all the bad example of apostate Israel and Judah. Oh, they had a temple. They had the synagogue. They had the sacrifice. They had a whole system, but they did not recognize the day of their visitation. They didn't love God. They didn't receive whom he sent. Paul was retrained and taught by Jesus himself. Ephesians 4:20 and following tells us that we're to hear and to be taught by Jesus, since the truth is in Jesus. Today, the typical churchgoer does not believe this. They generally do not believe John either when he said, "You have no need that a man teach you. The anointing that you've received of him teaches you all things." That's in 1 John 2:27. Oh, God uses his disciples, yes. He uses ministries, but our attention is always upon the Lord and never a man or men or any system of religious people. The Lord is our teacher. We can only have one master, and it's Jesus. The paradox is that religion today is just as corrupt as it was in the Old Testament. It is just as corrupt as it was during the ministry of Jesus too. Do you remember Jesus' anger? It's recorded in each gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus took cords and overturned the tables of the money changers. He kicked out of the temple those who sold doves and bought, as well as those in the seat of those who sold the doves. It's a big system of commerce that is alive and well today. You know it's true. Don't deny it. The apostles were grieved over this fact, that this would continue. Paul said, "We are not as many that peddle the word of God." 2 Corinthians 2:17. Or Peter, "There will be people selecting teachers, having itching ears that turn aside from the truth for error of fables and false teaching." In fact, Peter continued and said, "They'll make merchandise of you. Why, they promise you liberty. They themselves are the servants, slaves of corruption." I note the record of Jesus' outrage in the temple, and I note he was not just angry with sellers, but it was also the buyers that made it possible. Think about it. If there were no buyers, then the sellers would have to sell something else other than the things of God. Nothing is new under the sun. It's a fact. Religion is just as corrupt today as it ever was. Resisting and rejecting the Lord and his voice, hypocritically acting like they serve him and love him, but their actions show they do not. "Come out from amongst them," says the Lord. "Touch not the unclean thing." God's kingdom today is where people submit to him from their hearts. It is not here or there, as Jesus said in Luke 17. It doesn't come with observation. And when they tell you it's here or there, do not go after them nor follow them. Jesus commanded. The kingdom of God is not with observation. It's not brick and mortar buildings or institutions created by men. It's not a sect. It is not a schism or a division. There's only one body of Christ. There's only one true assembly of the Lord with Jesus as the head. Many realize that Roman Catholicism and its man pope is false. But just as about as many fail to understand that Protestantism and their local, quote, pastor is essentially the same thing. Happy are you if you're not offended in me, is what Jesus would say. Jesus will tell us the truth. And he has a plumb line in his hand and he's measuring what's straight, what's crooked, what's tilted, what's perverted. And it has to be cleansed and you have to repent. God commands it. Look at the blessing of repenting and having faith and receiving instruction and being baptized, immersed in baptism of repentance and receiving the Holy Spirit, that you could be absolutely, totally in unity with the Lord, being taught by him. This isn't a religion, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord's setting his people free. And he said so in Ezekiel 34. In the dark and cloudy day, God's going to deliver his flock from the false evil shepherds. There's one shepherd. His name is Jesus. You can only receive these things if it's given to you, Jesus would say. You can only see this if you have eyes to see it. Your ears can only understand if God has given you a pure heart to perceive. And as we wind down this age, the act of God is what? To perfect the bride of Christ. God could destroy the wicked any day, just as he could have destroyed the whole earth before Noah's flood. But he waited patiently while the ark was preparing. God was working in Noah's life by faith. And as was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man. The Lord is preparing his people by faith. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He obeyed God and did what God told him to do, specifically by the direction of the Lord. It had never rained before, but he moved with fear and prepared the ark. At the same time God destroyed the earth with the flood, God delivered Noah and his family, 8 souls. We're going to be purified. And everything false, everything crooked, everything contrary to the Lord, everything that's not of his teaching has to be gone, has to be removed. The Lord said to remove the stumbling block from his people. He said, cast ye up, cast ye up. Raise up the old path. Remove the stumbling block from my people, says the Lord. God's removing the hypocrisy, the immorality, the false teaching, the false government. That's just like the Gentiles when Jesus said, you're all brethren. Stop lording over each other. Don't take the place of Jesus. Don't set yourself up as a master over the flock of the Lord. You're in violation of the king's order. The immorality, the worldliness, none of this can be among those who profess to follow Jesus. It's time to grow up in Christ. And when I was a child, Paul said, I behaved as a child. But when I grew up, I put away the childish things. The true followers of Jesus follow Jesus. It's so simple. In Jeremiah 6, verse 10, to whom will I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. You're either going to love the truth or you're going to hate the truth. You're either going to receive the truth or you're going to resist the truth. Verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? The way? The straight and narrow way that leads to life. And walk therein and you shall find rest for your souls. Does that sound familiar to Jesus' teaching? Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And there are religious people today that said they would serve the Lord, but aren't. And there are people that said they wouldn't serve the Lord, but are going to repent in godly sorrow with ghastly sins, horrible and horrific bondage. And the Lord is going to wash it away, releasing them. And they are going to praise the Lord and shine in the dark, dark, dark world in the last days. Praise the Lord. For where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And God is going to be glorified in forgiving the souls of rebels. But the religious and the hypocrites were as the foolish virgins that had no oil in their lamp. And they're stuck without any light in the midnight hour. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear you nations. Oh, no, O congregation, what is among them? Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. This is a living word of the Lord in this hour, ladies and gentlemen. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not." The Lord is speaking today. Jesus is declaring his voice to those who will hear. Let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Not everything that is called a church is a church. Not everyone that is called a Christian is a Christian. And you know that's true. But a true disciple of the Lord hears when he speaks and follows in his footsteps. That's what a disciple in truth and reality. Isaiah 30. "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." Verse 8. "Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get ye out of the way, they say, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on it, therefore this iniquity shall be to you a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it at the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces, and he shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of a sherd to take fire from the earth, or to take water withal out of the pit." Ladies and gentlemen, God sees the white sepulcher. He sees the whitewashing. He sees the front and the facade, the appearance of things. But he sees through it, and he sees the intent of the heart. He sees the rebellion and the wickedness. Look at Ezekiel chapter 8. God sees the idolatry, the stubbornness, and the rebellion. "But for this man," he said, "I will look, one that is broken and contrite, that trembles at my word." God's not looking for a temple made by man's hands. He's looking for a man that's broken and contrite, that trembles at his word. And his name is Jesus. And are you in him? Are you in Jesus, the new man, the heavenly man? Are you born again? Have you repented? Do you have faith in Jesus? Are you listening to his voice? Praise the Lord. God's going to be destroying everything and shaking everything that is not in him. Everything that's been planted, everything that's been built that he has not built or planted will be plucked up and destroyed, as Jesus said. The truth is that the Lord likens a wise man as one that hears and obeys his word, his voice. To the degree that you hearken is the degree that you will stand in the evil day. Truth is perished from the land. It's abandoned among the religious too. But the disciples of the Lord that live to hear his voice, they shall heed his voice, and they shall obey and comply with joy. These are they which shall shine in the bright, and in the dark day of darkness shall cover the earth. The path, the way, these are the very steps the Lord speaks to us. Follow him. Hear him. Walk in it. For it's very straight and narrow, but it leads to life.